Hello, hello, and welcome. You are listening to the Sacred Slut Podcast, hosted by me, Becca Kavanaugh. This podcast is for you if you are ready to live a life full of pleasure, passion, and prosperity through your feminine flow and magnetism. This podcast will give you everything you need to step into your power, embrace your inner slut, and fall in love with being a woman, even in today's society. Every week, we cover topics like spirituality, relationships, sex, pleasure, and living a pussy-led life. I have used these tools and teachings to create a business from flow, reignite passion in my relationships, have mind-blowing sex, and manifest the really big stuff like my dream apartment, soulmate clients, and money in my bank account. And I did all this while prioritizing pleasure and embracing my feminine radiance. So now I teach my clients to create their own version of success through the power of their pleasure and live a life that turns them the fuck on. The thoughts and perspectives I share on the show are my own through the lens of my lived experience as a privileged, white, cis, straight, able-bodied woman. I do fully believe that living a pleasure-filled life is inclusive and possible for everyone. And I am always open to receiving feedback on which I can improve. All in all, take what feels really good and pleasure-filled and leave the rest. I want you to think of this podcast as your weekly dose of pleasure that will get your juices flowing and leaving you craving for more. I am so turned on to have you here, so let's just dive in. Hello, my sacred sluts, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today. And if you are new here, hi, hello, welcome to the podcast. My name is Becca, and I am your host. And today we are doing something a little bit different because I brought on a guest for you guys that I felt was so aligned for this podcast. And so I brought on my friend, Jerry Suter, who is a certified love and relationship coach. She really specializes in women's empowerment and conscious dating. And whether you are single or dating or in a relationship that's unfulfilling, she can help you in all those areas. So no matter where you land on the spectrum today, you are going to get something out of this episode. And even if you are in a healthy partnership, you are going to get something out of this episode. We really break down how to be vulnerable with somebody new, right? How to have those really transparent and tough conversations and how important they are in your relationships, how to really identify patterns of unfulfillment, or, you know, if you're finding yourself being the common denominator in your relationships, we really break down how to identify those patterns and what the next step will be for you on your journey to having a conscious and healthy partnership, really laying the foundation with female empowerment, with feeling really good about yourself in embodiment practices. And there are just so many juicy nuggets in here. I really wish my old self would have listened to this podcast episode years ago. I would have saved myself quite a bit of heartbreak, but you know, we all live and learn. We all live and learn. So that's why I am so excited to share this episode with you all today, because I feel like no matter where you land, like I said, you are going to find value in this episode. There's just so much wisdom in this episode. And it's so amazing hearing Jerry's story. She has such a beautiful, inspiring story. And it really just, her story to me really shows that even if you feel like you're not on the right path and things aren't working out for you, that in a sense, you are on the right path, and that there are so many ways to kind of turn it around. And like I talk about all the time, which is turning your pain into pleasure. So anyways, welcome to the podcast. I'm going to let us just dive right into it. So I'm going to let you get into the episode now. All right, Jerry, hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited that you are here and thank you for being here.
Hi, Becca. Thank you for having me on. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Perfect. So go ahead and just give my listeners a little bit of context on like who you are, what you do, how do you serve people in the world? Go ahead and just give me your whole spiel.
Yeah, so my name is Jerry Suter, and I'm a certified sex, love, and relationship coach. I specialize in women's empowerment and conscious dating. And with my clients, I use a blend of coaching and trauma-informed embodiment practice to help them to uncover root causes of any unhealthy relationship patterns and to do the deep work to feel worthy of the relationships that they desire and find the confidence to go after them. And I work with women who are either single or already in a relationship, but not quite blissfully happy.
Perfect. We need a lot more of that in the world for sure. So what is your story like? So how did you kind of get on this? Because I think that we touched on before that we've talked about a little bit before, you kind of hinted at some big life things that really led you to this point. So I'm really interested on what exactly that looked like and how this all really started out for you.
Yeah, sure. So I'll have to kind of go back a few years to when I was working in a corporate job that was really unfulfilling. And I was kind of like experimenting with things to support me. So I started doing yoga and other types of practices. And I ended up leaving my job, going traveling and going on a whole, I guess, self-discovery journey. And during that time, I trained as a yoga teacher and I started doing a lot of work around reconnecting with my body. And my life was improving massively in all areas except for my love life and relationships. And that was the one area that my whole life had always been really difficult. For every single relationship I'd been in had been destructive. And it just got to it really had to get to rock bottom for me to get support around it. So I had been in a relationship for 4 years that was destructive, emotionally abusive, and I just didn't have the tools to get out of it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to move forward. And it got to the point where this relationship had just taken over my whole life. So it was affecting my yoga teaching. It was affecting my work. It was affecting my friendships. I was losing friends and I was having like challenging situations with family coming up all because of this relationship and my inability to kind of be able to leave my life in a way that was fulfilling within that relationship. And so eventually for the first time in my life, I was like, okay, I really need to get some help and support around this. And I went to therapy, which was massively life-changing. It's traditional talk therapy. And I also went to Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, which is like a 12-step program. And I was part of that for a while. And that really it helped me to get to a more stable place. And it supported me to get out of that relationship. But there was still something missing. I still didn't really have the tools, even though I was kind of like, you know, outwardly, I was out of that relationship, but then I went into a space of avoidance where I was just avoiding dating and relationships altogether. And I had to really sit with myself and decide, is a relationship, a healthy partnership, something that I want to pursue? And I knew that it absolutely was. And I realized that a lot of the work that I had done outside of relationships was body-based, and it was around really connecting to things that were going on within my subconscious that I wasn't even aware of. And then I went down the journey of doing that when it came to relationships. And I'm the kind of person, I always like to go like really intensively into things. So I dive straight into doing coach training with, you might know, Layla Martin. She's like,
we love her
name, and yeah, she's amazing. And I did like a year, nearly 2 years of training with her. And during that time, it really helped me to just uncover for myself everything that was going on within my subconscious that was keeping me stuck. And it really allowed me to move forwards to the point where I'm now engaged and in a really beautiful, healthy, happy relationship. And that's kind of been my journey towards getting here.
Wow, look at that. That's so amazing. And it's so amazing. I love hearing people's stories and just how things really guide you, how it's like you, when you just keep following that intuition or following, like, you know, these steps that you took were not by accident, right? And they all kind of led you to this, having this healthy partnership that you desired and wanted. And that's so, so amazing. Do you feel like there was a real, like, turning point for you that was like, oh my God, like, I need to do something different. Like, this is not working out for me. Like, having that self-realization moment.
Yeah, I do remember there was this very specific kind of hard-hitting moment, I guess, where when I went traveling around Australia, I was there for 18 months, and I missed a lot of that journey because I was still in dialogue and text messaging with this person that I was in this really destructive dynamic with. And my mum had a heart attack, and I ended up having to go back to Europe to go and see her and spend time with her. And even though this, it was so, you know, it was really, it was painful and kind of, you know, the idea of like losing my mum and all these things were going on. And I wasn't able to fully focus on her because I was still engaged in that relationship, because it just took all of my energy to the point where I didn't have any energy for anything else. And I remember kind of like sitting down with my mum and her being like, you know, you're not really here, are you? Like, you're not, your head and your heart is just like completely somewhere else. And I just felt, and that was kind of like, I guess what you call the rock bottom moment for me. It was like, is this really what I want my life to look like? And there was a lot of series of moments that led up to that. And I just remember being in therapy shortly after that, and the therapist saying to me, in 5 years' time or in 10 years' time, is this still what you want to be doing? And you've repeated this relationship pattern with dozens of relationships. It wasn't like it was the first time this had happened. It was happening. It was like I was dating, you know, it was different men, but really it was all the same person. Ultimately, right. It was the same person and the same dynamic that was showing up over and over again. And when she said that, something in me just kind of like, I was like, no, I'm not okay with living the rest of my life like this. I just had this desire to, even though at that time it felt so unrealistic, I was just like, I do not want to get to the end of my life without having experienced what being in a loving, healthy relationship is like. And also I wanted to be able to be in a relationship that allowed me to give attention to other areas of my life that were important to me. And I think that was the real turning point for me after the accumulation of all of the moments that it took to arrive there.
Right. That was the big straw that broke the camel's back. It was like, yeah, I can't keep doing this. Yeah, that's so amazing that you say that, because I talk about that all the time of with my past relationships and stuff. I would easily go towards, you know, people that seemingly on the exterior seemed so different, right? But they were all very much the same. And it was that pattern, you know, and I was so desperately trying to go towards somebody that was like, oh, this person's completely different than my ex. They're like polar opposites, but they all have the same tendencies underneath. And it's like,
yeah,
you had to break that cycle. Exactly. And we don't see it until we're like really in it. Like that moment of your mom being like, you're not even here right now. It's that sobering moment of seeing somebody that you love kind of bring that out and be like, hey, this is what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like this sort of like mini intervention or something, where it was like, and my friends were also kind of like, you know, what's going on here was like not okay. And I lost a lot of friendships through that. And it kind of, yeah, it had to, like this, it had, all of that had to happen for me. That's not necessarily, it doesn't have to get that drastic for everyone, but that was kind of like the journey that it took for me to get to that point.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So moving into more like relationship type stuff and your expertise and everything, I really am interested in knowing
like, what do you feel with talking about women that really crave a relationship and they're still stuck in these patterns, like really talking about the patterns that we were just saying, what do you feel like is the missing piece for them to really see that? So that way they don't have to hit rock bottom first, right? They don't have to have to lose all their friends first, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what I've found over the past year that I've been coaching professionally is that in the beginning, when clients come to me, they're always coming to me wanting to find like the perfect partner. And it's all about, how do I find the partner and where do I find them and what apps do I go on and what websites and like all of the like external things. And the common thread that I found with all of my clients is that what they needed to do in order to get into that loving relationship they wanted was to renovate the relationship with themselves. So it was around really doing the inner work to love themselves as they are in this moment. And without thinking, because so often when I'm speaking to clients, they're coming to me wanting to know all of the things they need to change about themselves so that they can have the relationship. And it's around really just, and it's so oversimplified in our culture, this idea of self-love and self-acceptance. But it's actually, it's revolutionary because it changes so much. Because what I've experienced for myself and my clients is that first comes kind of like the acceptance of the behaviors or the patterns that are coming as the awareness of them, the acceptance. And kind of like being okay with where you're at and loving yourself, even though you don't have the relationship that you want, or even though you're in this really destructive dynamic or patterns that keep reoccurring. And from there, you can then build towards healing those patterns that are coming up. And I work with a lot of women that are quite conscious, and they've already done a lot of self-development work. And it's kind of like that, a lot of it is around what I see as well, as a lot of people are craving kind of like the specific answer or the formula, and they end up reading and learning tons about attachment theory and like all of the, and they want to know like why they feel the way they do or why they're acting the way they are, which is really valuable information. But at some point it needs to go past that. And that's where the embodiment work comes in, into, okay, I know what the patterns are now. I'm aware of how they're showing up in my life. How do I now heal them at a subconscious level? And that's different for everyone. There isn't really like a cookie cutter sort of formula that I use with every one of my clients. It's more around for them personally, what do they need to do in order to, for them to feel worthy and to love themselves enough to have the relationship that they want. And I'm not saying that there's this kind of like thing that goes around of, you have to 100% love yourself first before you can be in a relationship you desire. And I don't believe that, because I believe self-love is a journey. And for me, it's a constant practice and process, and it's ongoing. And I don't think that any of us are ever 100% healed, in quotation marks. But for me, it was around, okay, finding the person who is committed to being on that journey of healing and growing with me, and that I'm safe to be on that journey with. So kind of like knowing, okay, this self-love thing, I'm going to be doing it forever. And at the same time, I can still go out and get and find the relationship that I desire.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it's really, that whole thing that we've talked about in the past, right? That relying on that external thing to like, quote unquote, fix you, right? That's like the deeper belief behind it. It's like, I don't feel worthy enough as I am in my, person. So I need to do all these external things, and then this person will find me, and then this person will love me, right? And this is like some beef that I have with like the self-love movement. It's like, this whole idea of like working on yourself and self-love and self-care is this and that. And I think women in our spaces, right, they understand that like self-love and self-care is like pleasure practices, embodiment, but it's so deep. It's so like bringing out your shadows, bringing out that stuff. And like, yes, you can do face masks and baths all you want, but at some point that's not going to fix your patterns. It's not going to make you feel more worthy. It might feel good in the moment, but it's not going to, it's a good first step, but it's not going to create that belief within you that like, I am completely whole and worthy. And I feel that so deeply in my soul, you know? And like you mentioned before, I totally believe that too, of like relationships. And I think that if we are waiting around until we are worthy, quote unquote, enough for a relationship, we're going to be in that cycle forever. And that goes for anything in our lives. Like, right, I'll get my dream job when I feel worthy enough for it, when I have all the certifications, when I'm all, you know, perfectly accredited. And, you know, there comes to a certain extent of like, yes, that's great and all, but we need to move past that. Like, we need to just dive in, because you don't really know until you're completely in it, right? And taking that action really will help move things along and get things going. So
yeah,
I relate to that.
And it's,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, a lot of what I see as well is that kind of like cycle of how women are trying to like heal everything that they need, they think they need to fix in quotation marks, and then they don't date at all. And that then means they don't have the opportunity to learn and to practice the tools that are required to have the healthy relationship. So they don't have the container to practice the communication skills and setting boundaries and like all of the, all of that work that needs to be done. And with a lot of women I work with, it's around getting them to this space where they are ready to start dating and putting themselves out there so that they can start practicing those skills.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's taking that action. Like, clarity comes when you take action, you know. You don't know it until you're in it and you have to go on the dates. You don't know what feelings are going to come up unless you're faced with that person. You know, there's so much. So really going into kind of your work here, how do you really help women kind of clear out some of this deep-seated pain that they might not be aware of, you know, talking about patterns and what kind of signs can kind of come up that maybe they could become aware of?
Yeah. So in terms of the methodology that I use, it's an approach that's taught by Layla Martin, and it combines, it's this beautiful combination of sort of like the scientific elements of neurobiology and like the kind of mind-based stuff and holistic healing, as well as sacred sexuality and kind of more body-based embodiment practices. And what I do with my clients is I use tools like breath work and embodiment and trauma healing, meditation, visualization practices. And what this does is it teaches them to work with their deep subconscious. So those patterns that are coming up, they're coming from often from a space that we're not aware of. We're not aware of why we're doing them and why they're happening. And tools like breath work or embodiment practices that really allows you to resolve the underlying stuff that's keeping you from having the relationship that you want and that's keeping you stuck. And from my experience as well, because most of the women that I work with, they've experienced some type of trauma in their lives. And the way that I work really brings in trauma principles as well, so that, you know, we're bringing parts of them out in a slow and gentle way so that they don't get overwhelmed or go back into that kind of trauma space. And it's bringing up those parts of themselves that are stuck in that trauma cycle so that they can be experienced from a space of safety. And I'm teaching my clients to do that in a way that they can then go away after we've worked together and continue to use those tools for themselves, of learning to connect with their bodies, figure out what's going on in their subconscious and clear that so that they can take the action steps that are required to get what it is that they desire.
Yeah, that's so good.
And in terms of signs, so what kind of signs do you mean? Sort of like kind of like patterns that keep reoccurring or?
Yeah, I just kind of was thinking like, you know, if there, you know, talking about your story and how there was kind of a moment or signs, like all the red flags that maybe have came up, but that we ignored, right? we want to ignore them, right? Is there anything that was like really just kind of cut and dry for you that was just like that moment or that sign, that red flag that was like, why didn't I see this, right? Because maybe that will kind of help other women that are struggling with that, and they're struggling with that feeling of like, oh, I want to push this off. Oh, I don't want to face this just yet, you know, and kind of giving that like one red flag that's like, this is it, girl. Like you need to need to break the pattern.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like, it's this sort of realization that within all of these patterns and relationships that keep repeating themselves, at the end of the day, for me, I knew that like I was the common denominator. Like I was the person that was always there within these relationships that were repeating themselves. And for me, the kind of sign that was really common with all of these relationships was the emotional unavailability. So the fact that every single person that I was dating was either physically unavailable, you know, they lived in different places, or they were in a relationship with someone else, or like all of those things, or the emotional availability of. And like a sign that I really found was that, and a pattern that I saw myself doing over and over again, is I didn't really listen, in the sense that I remember years ago in my late 20s, I was in a relationship for 2.5 years where the person told me from the beginning that they never wanted to get married. It was really clear that he didn't want long-term commitment. And I was so convinced, and this is something that does come from, you know, society and a lot of the things that we see in movies and films and like whatever, of like, well, you know, I can change his mind if I'm good enough, you know, if I'm a good enough girlfriend, and if I do all of the things, and if I'm like the perfect little housewife, and like, I'll change his mind and he'll want to marry me. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same thing over and over again in the relationships that came after, of like, you know, this person is showing me from day one who they are through their words, through their actions. And I'm the one that's not believing it. And I'm the one that's wanting, you know, things to be different than what they are. And it was this kind of like reality of that I was, it goes back to that feeling of, or that, yeah, the feeling of not being good enough, but if I'm good enough, I can change them. And that was kind of like a really clear sign for me of like, okay, you know, start believing people when they tell you things. Like if someone tells you they don't want to commit, that means they don't want to commit. If someone consistently, you know, doesn't reply to my messages or cancels, or like that, they're showing me that they're unavailable. And it was kind of like a learning of beginning to recognize those signs and like taking them at face value, and not kind of like believing that if only I was good enough, or if only I changed enough, that I could change them as well. So my goal after that was to meet someone who, you know, my partner's by no means perfect and neither am I, but I wouldn't change a single thing about him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want him to change his values or his beliefs or any of those things. And it was also around me becoming a lot more honest. So I became more honest from day one. Like, mm-hmm. I want commitment. I want to get married. Like, I was real about, I became more and more honest about who I actually was and what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's so telling too, of like how you were talking about movies, society, everything like that. Unfortunately, like a lot of women, myself included, have these beliefs unless they kind of deconstruct mm-hmm. them and see it, because yeah. that was me too. I was like, oh, you know, oh, this person really needs help, or they need, you know, some self-development. Let me make them my project. Let me, you know, and then it was just a mirror back to me though, of like, I felt like, if I can just show them how amazing I am, right? I'm going to do all these things for them. I'm going to show them how amazing I am. Then they'll commit to me. They'll want to marry me. They'll want to do X, Y, and Z with me. And it's just such a bullshit belief, honestly, like, mm-hmm. you know, and the, it comes down to like, why would we want that? Why would we want to make, like, convince somebody that we are worthy mm-hmm. of commitment for ourselves? Right.
Yeah.
So it's such a trap, unfortunately, but it is that conditioning. Like you said, I mean, I could probably list off so many movies that mm-hmm. portrayed that same dynamic, right? And unfortunately, these things just go deep right into our subconscious and we don't even realize yeah. that we're doing them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like this belief and this, like, that is ingrained in us of, you know, men don't want to commit. And if we want them to commit, we're going to have to make them and we're going to have to manipulate them into it. And it was like, that is actually mm-hmm. not true. There are men that also deeply desire to be in committed relationships, but I was not open to seeing them. And I was not being the person that would allow that kind of relationship to be possible.
Totally, totally. And it's so easy to be like, you know, oh, there's no good men out there. There's no men yeah. that are, you know, because it's like, well, now I don't have to face that I want to have a commitment, right? And I think that's yeah. part of it too. I think women, especially, we have this kind of dynamic or this belief that, like you said, it's like men don't want commitment and we do mm-hmm. want commitment, but we almost feel, because we try to play the man's game a lot of the times, I see this a lot in dating, is like, we try to be like ashamed almost that we want commitment. And,
yeah. Yeah.
and
yeah.
that creates such an inner conflict within us when we try to date. It's this very like almost attached, like avoidant type of dating that I see a lot of the times. And now, right now, it's being so glamorized. I see this so much mm-hmm. on like TikTok, like the younger generation, they're looking towards their peers, right? And these young women, unfortunately, are falling into this, like, let's play the man's game, quote unquote. Let's, you know, let's play their game. Let's be toxic back towards them. And I just don't think that that's, because I've been there, I've played that game and it doesn't feel good. It doesn't serve anyone, yeah. right? And then you're just kind of lying to yourself, unfortunately. And I think once I decided that, like, or I came to terms with like, I want a commitment and that's okay. Like, I can accept that I want a commitment and I can just be with that. And once I decided that, I found a partner that was ready to commit, you know?
Absolutely.
So speaking of manipulation and toxic dating, I figured I'd just jump to this, which mm-hmm. is because we talked about before about your feelings towards like coaching, like some toxic coaching in the dating world. And I would love for you to just kind of elaborate on that, because I think it really ties into what we were just talking about.
Yes, it really does. And I see this a lot in this kind of like really old-fashioned sort of, you know, this belief system that like men don't want to commit, women do, so you're gonna have to reel them in, you're gonna have to like kind of, you're going to have to pretend that you don't want to commit all the way through mm-hmm. through the entirety of the relationship until eventually he changes his mind or you trap him in quotation marks or whatever it is. And what I see a lot is this kind of like in the love and relationship coaching industry, which, and I say this with compassion because I understand why it's so popular and I understand the appeal of the quick fix, because it's like, you know, especially if you've been in relationships where you've had partners that are harmful, that have been really destructive and emotionally abusive, it's kind of like you do sort of, like you say, start to get that sense of, okay, they've been doing this, I'm going to play the same game back and that is going to get me what I want. And it's all around using these kind of like manipulative tactics to attract a partner or get him to commit. So it's like the things of like, you know, send him these exact free texts to get him to commit, or like do these 5 things, you know, to get him to propose. And it's all around this like, and a lot of these things, if you were doing these things kind of like because this is who you are and this is the way that you act, but what is happening is that women who are kind of following this advice are then going into relationship dynamics not being who they are, not being their true selves, not showing who they are, like we were talking about earlier, not admitting that they want to commit and feeling shame around that, and kind of like coming into the space of like, oh well, I'm going to pretend and be something that I'm not. And inherently that is so manipulative, because you're then creating a relationship with someone based on something that isn't reality. So even if you do get into a relationship with this person and you do get them to commit, sooner or later, you're going to have to be your real self. Like, you can't keep up this game or like pretending that you're someone you're not for the entirety of the relationship. And it's also through, by being manipulative, you are then attracting partners that are also that way. Because, and it's kind of when like, and I'll admit I've used those tactics before. Like, I tried like all of the things in the book, and like I used those tactics even though they felt really icky and they didn't feel an integrity and aligned for me. And I was like, well, you know, all the gurus and experts and everyone else are saying that this works, and so I have to go and try it. And it didn't. And when it was, and I had it done to me as well. So like, I would get texts from guys where I was like, he's clearly copy pasted that from somewhere. He's gotten it from like, you know, the pickup artist, like how to be, you know, how to pick up women or whatever. And I think for me, it was really when I realized like having this done to me is awful. It does not feel good. And I'm going out there and doing this to people as well. Like, surely this is not what getting into relationship looks like, or it wouldn't get me into the type of relationship that I desire. So what I see is that, you know, people are going out there and kind of like pitching like these quick fixes that don't actually heal the underlying relationship patterns. So like sending a certain specific text or like doing whatever, like that isn't going to heal all of the stuff underneath that is keeping you stuck. And another thing that I see with these, you know, like kind of, I don't really know what to call them, like teachings or kind of like ideas, is that it really perpetuates these really like outdated standards. You know, things like, if you want someone to be with you, don't sleep with them till like, I don't know, the third date or like whatever, like these exact like formulas. And it's these really, you know, I've had relationships where I slept with the person on the first date and we were in relationship for years. Like there are no kind of like rules. And I think it's really like boxing people in and putting them into these ideas of like what they should or shouldn't be doing based on standards that are outdated, that completely don't make sense anymore. And it's also a lot around these gender normative ideas of like, this is what men are, and this is what women are, and this is what men should be acting like, and this is what women should be acting like. And I've been in some of these groups before where they're like, never send him the first text, like never pay for dinner, and like all these things. And it's like, and often when I work with clients, I'm spending a lot of time undoing all of that stuff because they're so terrified to send the first text. Like they're like, I could never text a man first, never. And I'm like, you can't be dating someone for months and months and not text them first. Like, imagine how they feel. Like, imagine how they feel that you've never taken the initiative to reach out. And I think the kind of like the idea of masculine and feminine polarity, which I do agree with, and it's part of the work that I do, has been, it's been distorted, and it's kind of been put into this really toxic framework of like, you know, be it, if you're a woman, being entirely 100% in your feminine, and if you're a man, you have to be 100% O's in your masculine. What I believe for a healthy relationship to happen, the masculine and feminine need to be in balance, and there needs to be that polarity. But am I in the feminine of receiving, and do I love it when I get gifts and my partner pays for things? Yes. And also I love getting him gifts, and also I love, like, it's kind of like that balance needs to happen. And that there's kind of like the feminine, you know, being, I don't know what they call it, like high feminine, high desire, high value woman, divine, like all of those,
yeah that whole divine language,
like, yes. And it's like, it's brought us to the point where we're now saying it's kind of like that element of, oh well, the feminine is better than, or like, you know, that, and it's kind of like, well, there needs to be a healthy balance, and there needs to be a healthy respect of the divine masculine as well. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that balance and going, and it's kind of what has happened is we've taken like these ideas. I'm going to go back to like the pickup artist thing, because I see what has happened is like there's this kind of like really toxic like culture of teaching men like how to be pickup artists, and now we've like transferred that over to women and like, okay, well, these are like the things that you need to do, and it's kind of just, it doesn't work in the long term, and people get frustrated because they're like, well, I'm trying all the things, and I'm sending like, you know, I'm being like the high value woman, and I'm not, and they're getting frustrated, and they're like, well, I didn't sleep with him for 3 months, and then he still didn't want to be with me. So like, what am I doing wrong? And I don't get it. And it's like, well, you haven't done the inner work and the healing of all of the stuff that's underneath that. Because if you truly believed that you were worthy as you are, then you would be acting from a space of doing what you believe to be in integrity. Mm-hmm. Without having to like work within these frameworks or kind of like ideas that have been created.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so good right here. Like for the listeners, they need to just like go back like 10 minutes that we've been talking about this and just like replay it in their mind, because this is exactly what I preach and talk about when it comes to masculine, feminine energies. I see this dynamic happening a lot, which is that we are just going straight back into gender roles. Like we see like, oh, masculine, feminine energies, our subconscious minds unfortunately go straight into, oh, this is what a masculine looks like. And we use the evidence from gender roles from our society to be like, oh, this is what is masculine. And that has nothing to do with energy. And so it's really about, like you said, it's like deconstructing all that shit basically that's there. And it's like, well, no, this means nothing about gender roles. This means nothing about it. And I think going back to, you know, this whole pickup artist mentality of like, you know, women are just kind of playing the man's game, right? And, mm-hmm. and the whole point of being more feminine is about deconstructing of like, I can be all these things, I can be do all these things, and I can trust myself, and I don't need to fall into these gender roles. I don't need to fall into these old paradigms that we've been holding on to for so long. And also when it comes to the coaching industry on relationship coaching and this like quick fix stuff, I think that that is so gross marketing. Like it's so gross that they are preying on women who are, you know, almost desperate in a way, right? Of like, I need some external factor to fix me. I need something. I want this quick fix. And they're selling these things to them. They are making a multi-million dollar buck off of this. And that's so disgusting to me. It's like, I much rather be in integrity with my work and do the hard stuff and get that stuff out of them, right? And it all comes back to really, I think with the work that you and I both do, it's about bringing them back to their intuition and their self-trust and not having to rely on anything. Because I think the biggest thing for me when I was kind of going through these patterns and dynamics, there was always a moment, and usually in the beginning stages, right? There was always a moment that I felt like, this doesn't feel good. I don't know about this, but I still went through it anyway. Like I still, and then some of these relationships ended up being years of my life, right? And, but I had that first intuitive hit very early on. But then when I went back into like my conscious brain of like these patterns or these relationship tactics, right? Let's play the man's game. Let's show him that you're worthy, right? And following that pattern, it was like, but I got that intuitive hit. And if I just listened to that and I trust that, then I think I would have been so much better off. But I just didn't have the capacity at that time to do that. And that's what I really want to show other women. It's like your intuition, when it comes to feminine energy, right? Your intuition is so powerful and we all have it, but we just have to start trusting it more. We just have to start, you know, actually taking the action that our intuition's giving us, even if our conscious brain doesn't make sense of it. It's we still need to just kind of create that trust and that bond within ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. And what I see a lot as well, which is really interesting, is that women who have already started to tap into their intuition, they'll use it in all areas of their lives except for dating and relationships. It kind of seems to be this area where people find it really challenging to listen to that intuition. And what I do with my clients, it's kind of like the process of slowly bringing it into the dating process. And like, even when you're on the app, like if someone messages you and you don't know whether to respond or not, like take a moment to take a breath, like connect to your heart and your womb space, and like listen to, does this feel like a yes to me? Like, does this feel like a yes or a no? And what I hear a lot of women saying who are just starting on that journey of connecting with their intuition, they're like, well, I don't know. Like, it's they're not trusting yourself and thinking, well, I don't know, it said yes, but I'm not sure if it really means yes. And it's like, well, just follow the breadcrumbs, and kind of like the more you listen to that, the more then you'll collect that evidence of whether that intuition is correct or not, and then you can start building on that.
Exactly. It's really powerful. It really is. But yeah, you have to, it's with anything, right? It's a muscle and you have to put it into practice. And unfortunately, I think when it comes to modern dating, as there is a lot of perks with modern dating, right? But when it does come to kind of this addictive app based, let's swipe through as many people, it's very hard when you're in that fast paced environment to have those moments of like, I need to tap into my intuition. So you have to be really conscious of it and really actively trusting that intuition and tapping into it, because unfortunately, in modern dating, we're just not set up that way. It's like, get on as many dates as you can. It's swipe as many people as you can, talk to as many people as you can, you know? And then it's always like the idea of like, there's always more, you're never catching up. And I think it, you know, comes back to social media as well. And it's comparison. And so of course, there's all this stuff that's clouding our intuition. So we really have to be consciously, actively taking a step back and trusting that intuition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, talking about your relationship, because you're engaged and now you're in a happy, healthy, conscious relationship. So, being a relationship coach, how is it kind of navigating your relationship? And how has, do you feel like your relationship has really changed, or how you approach things has changed?
Yeah, so I think when I look at sort of this relationship that I'm, the relationship that I'm in now, things were different straight from the beginning. And the way that I approached it was very different. So before I even met my partner, I was really clear on what I wanted out of a relationship and what my expectations were, what my boundaries were, what my values were. And I had to make that decision that I wasn't going to settle for less, that I was like, it's either this or nothing. And that took some time to really, that was really, really hard, because it was like, you know, it's either having this relationship with these, what a lot of people at the time told me were unrealistic expectations, and kind of like being like, okay, if this doesn't happen, I'd rather be alone than be in another destructive, unhealthy relationship. And it was, so it was getting clear on what I expected, setting the standards before I even got in the relationship of what was negotiable, what was non-negotiable, what were the nice to haves, and what were the things that were kind of like out of the question. It was like really pushing my edges and challenging myself in when I was dating. And with my partner now, what happened when we met is that a lot of my kind of like inner barriers were pushed, in the sense that he's a lot younger than me, and I always had the idea that I would be dating, that I would always be dating people who, I'd only ever dated men who were older. And it was like all these things that came up around that. And my feeling of unworthiness as an older, in quotation marks, woman, and being like, oh, but, you know, I'm going to like age quicker, and like all these things that like came up. And it was kind of like navigating with all of the tools that I've learned, that that I'd learned, all of those things that were coming up, and doing it in a conscious way and doing it in a body-based way and to keep listening to myself every step. And another thing that I did differently was I didn't jump into the relationship. So we took a lot of time getting to know each other. I think it was nearly 6 months where we were just friends, where we kind of like got to know each other. And for me, it was all around like pattern interrupting and doing things that differently than I had in the past, because in the past I just jumped straight into relationships and, you know, chemistry based, and we were just together like straight away. And it was a different decision around, it was no longer me waiting to be chosen and being like, okay, you know, I'm going to date this person and wait for them to say whether they want me or not. It was more around, actually, I get to decide whether I want to be with you or not. And then you get to decide the same. But it was making that decision based on common values and based on, you know, the kind of lives that we desired to build and what was important for us in relationships. And I was talking about this earlier last week around kind of like relationship containers. So when we got into a relationship, we actually had the conversation around, do we desire a monogamous relationship? Like, what is important to us? What do we want? And we actually had those conversations in the beginning before we really committed, to get clear and make sure that we were both on the same path. And for me, it was around, you know, doing the really scary thing of like right in the beginning, I want to get married in the near future. Like, that was terrifying to me to tell someone that I really liked, because I was just so terrified that that would scare him away. And I thought, well, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's going to be scared by the word marriage. So like, if that happens and it's not the person for me, that's okay. And it's around, and in terms of maintaining the relationship now, it's really communication. So it's around, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now, we're in this heightened space where most of the time we're only spending time with each other. We don't see like many other people. And it's just keeping clear with communication and always coming back to what is important to us in the relationship and what it is that we're, you know, kind of the continual checking in of like, you know, is this still the direction we're heading in? Is this the direction that both of us are heading in? And kind of really staying in alignment with that.
Yes. Oh my God. So good. I feel like that's what it is, right? We are so scared to have those conversations in the beginning, but it's so rewarding, right? I think, that's something that was really big for me too. When I met my current partner, we were really open about stuff right in the beginning. It was like, we both don't want kids. We both want to get married and like all this stuff. And, you know, that was like, I can't believe we're talking about this 3 dates in, but it's also like, that's what you need to do. You need to have that, right? If you're tired of like wasting your time or going on a million dates all the time, you know, I think that there's a time and a place for those things. But also if you're getting burnt out on that, it's like, take a step back and just recognize like, what exactly are you looking for? And being willing to be vulnerable is what it is. And I think it all comes back to, as well as women, we are just, you know, we are told that men don't have the emotional capacity for these things, that we're going to be too much. It's that belief, right? That belief that we're going to be too much, that we're going to scare them off. And it's like, well, have them be scared off. Like, maybe that was a good thing.
Exactly. And this is what I always say to my clients, because they're so terrified of having those conversations. And it's like, well, would you rather have the conversation, or would you rather waste the next few years of your life with someone that you're not even in alignment with, and discover like 2 years down the line that he never wants to get married, or he never wants to have children, or whatever the thing is that you want? And it is scary. And that's why it's important to have the tools to like build safety for yourself, so that you can have those conversations and kind of, you know, even now I still need to do that for myself when I have a difficult conversation with my partner of like, okay, I need to create the safety for myself to be able to do that, and kind of to keep coming back to that, but knowing that in the long run, it's so worth it. And it saves so much time. Mm-hmm. It saves so much time. And exactly like you say, it like avoids that need for like you know, going on the million dates and like just kind of like when you can just cut to the chase and just discover very early on what it is that you want.
Right. And when you have that like vulnerable, you know, conversation with them early on, it's really like there are so many things. I think this year or this past year alone, right, really showed us like I had to have really tough conversations with my partner, right? We had to completely change our dynamic. And I think that we're stronger because we are able to have those conversations, but it's because we've always been able to have those conversations. And it really starts in the beginning because your relationship, you know, in the beginning is going to be completely different a couple of years from now. It's going to be completely different a couple of years from then. And I think we have this kind of false narrative of like, when we get married, that's it. And we know everything about that person and there's nothing else to navigate, but like, look at the pandemic and look how our lives changed overnight. And that was so unprecedented. And it's like, how did we ever think that we could navigate something like that? But we are willing to be vulnerable with each other. We are willing to like meet each other in that emotional transparency, really. And I think it starts with being transparent with yourself. You know, you have to be like, this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling triggered. I'm feeling like, you know, this is coming up and I don't even know why. And you have to just like let yourself be present with that and feel that. And like you said, create that safety within yourself.
And I remember for me in the beginning of our relationship, like I really struggled with jealousy because I'd been cheated on by partners in the past. And it was like, I had to keep coming back, even though it was uncomfortable, even though I didn't want to be vulnerable with that part of myself, to say to him, you know, listen, this is my past experience. Like, this is what happened in past relationships. And I'm feeling triggered and I'm feeling jealous. And like, this is what is coming up. And being able to have like those challenging conversations and being real with myself of, this has nothing to do with his behavior. Like he hasn't done anything. Like this is all about me and like my past stuff and being able to differentiate that. And I think it goes back to like you were saying about doing this from the beginning, because, you know, it's like that relationship that I was in where he told me from the beginning he didn't want to get married and I was just trying to change his mind. And it's like the same with like values in common. And I think when you have those values right from the beginning, it means when things do get challenging, you have like that common ground to come back to. You have that common ground to come back to of, you know, remember our value of honesty or remember our value of like whatever it is, and kind of being able to navigate that space when that comes up. And you said willingness earlier, and I think that's really like the key point, because for me, the difference, the key difference to being in a healthy relationship or the relationship that I'm in now, is the willingness for us to learn and grow together. Yes. And it's the willingness for me to say, you know, this thing that you've done is really triggering to me. Like, would it be okay? Like, could we talk about doing this in a different way or saying this in a different way? And like, or him saying that to me, where in the past, say the relationships that I was in, saying something like that, it would just be chaos. It would just be an argument. It would be like, well, we're free. It would just be like, it wouldn't be worth it. It would be so exhausting. And it's kind of like, it's not even then expecting, just because I've named that, that my partner then has to do the thing, but it's the willingness to have those conversations and the willingness to learn and grow together. And I think that's really the key differentiator in a healthy relationship.
So good. So true. So I do think, you know, unfortunately, there still is a lot of stigma when it comes to hiring a relationship coach, right? So if somebody is kind of on the fence or is interested in something like this, and they're feeling a little bit, maybe shame's coming up or the stigma, the fear behind that, what would you want them to know?
I think it's really, it's kind of like taking the charge off around it, because it's like, you know, there is this stigma to, it's the same with therapy, there's like a stigma with getting therapy, because there's this belief that if I'm getting therapy or if I'm getting a love and relationship coach or whatever, there must be something wrong with me and I must be broken and I need to be fixed. And it's kind of like, it's just like, I hear this kind of metaphor a lot, but it's so true. It's like, if you have a physical illness, like you go to a doctor, like if you want to get fit, you go to a personal trainer, and there's no kind of like, it's so commonly accepted by society that we don't even question those things. And it's the same around relationships. So like, if you have challenges in your relationships or in your love life, then of course, like get the support that you need. And it's around like navigating those fears that come up with that and allowing whoever can hold you through that to hold you through that space. And for me, what I say often as well is, I remember the first time I ever went to therapy, I just sat there, and after I left, I just burst out crying, and I was like, why did I not do this sooner? Like, why? Like, I think I was like 27 or something, like the first time I went to therapy. And to just have like someone like listen to what I was saying and who got it and like all the things. And for me, it took a lot of work to get past that barrier, the fear of that stigma and that fear of like, I must be broken if I need therapy, and going to therapy means admitting that I'm broken. And it was kind of like reframing it to, no, like it's just admitting that I don't have the answers, and like it's okay to not have the answers, and it's okay to get support. And it goes back to feeling worthy and the knowing that actually like I deserve to get help, and I deserve to have someone support me through navigating this. And it's kind of that, yeah, going back to that core of I'm enough as I am, and I deserve to like get that kind of like amplifying of who I already am so that I can get the thing that I desire.
Yeah, and get it quicker, right?
yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I kind of probably could have muddled along for another few years, but like, you know, getting a therapist, getting a coach, like doing the 12 steps, like those, all of those things really helped to accelerate the journey for me. And they were just so, for me, that it was just necessary. And I did come out of that thinking, I wish I'd have done this much sooner, because I could have kind of, not in like a regretful sense or like that I would do anything differently, but in just in the knowing of how valuable this is.
Mm-hmm. I think I see this come up a lot with my clients, and I do, you know, all this type of work as well, but a lot that comes up is like, they feel like they should know. I think that is what is such a huge misconception when it comes to sex, when it comes to relationships. It's like, I should just know. I've seen so many relationships in my life, and I've seen all these movies and whatever. I've seen porn. So I should know how to do these things. And it's just like, no, like we have this misconception that we are supposed to just know, and that it's innate, and it's just not. And unfortunately, we've had all this other programming from watching other people's unhealthy relationship dynamics, from watching toxic porn or anything like that. Yeah. And it's like, we can't base the things that we desire off of the things that we've seen. And I think it comes back to as well of like, maybe there is, you know, unfortunately with this thought of like stigmas and such, it's like nobody else around me is doing this, and like nobody else around me, you know. But it's like, I think I tell my clients this a lot, it's like looking at the relationships around you, and they're just like, oh, nobody gets me, nobody understands me. And that was my story for a long time as well. And it's like, well, would you want their relationships? Would you want their life? Would you want, like, you have to take yourself out of that for a second and be like, well, do you want that? If you want that, then maybe we shouldn't go down this road. But if you want something different and you want to see something else that's possible for you, then you have to take different steps to get a different outcome.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, just one last question here, and then we'll go into the rapid fire questions, because I know we're a little bit over time. But so if somebody's really resonating with this and wants to dive deeper into their own self-realization or discovery, what do you think would be the first step for them?
I think it's kind of like, if there really is that readiness of like, I'm ready to dive deeper into this, it's around getting the support. I think that's the key, like getting the support, either a coach or a therapist or like whoever you resonate with, someone who's qualified and is able to hold you through everything that is going to come up as you dive deeper into that journey of self-discovery and realization so that you can have that support.
Yes, definitely. And don't buy into the toxic dating.
Yeah.
The quick text messages.
Anyone that says like quick fix, like run a mile.
Right. Drive him wild. All these tips on how to be more feminine.
No text template, no like copy pasting things.
Oh my goodness. This was such a great conversation. I feel like we have so many nuggets for everybody to really pick up on. And I really hope that my listeners re-listen to this, because I think that there's just so, so much juice in this episode. So are you ready for your rapid fire questions?
Yeah, let's go.
So what is your biggest turn on?
My biggest turn on. I love dancing.
Ooh.
Like that was one of the things that really attracted me to my partner. Like when we, the first time we went dancing together, and he was just an incredible dancer. And I was like, yes, that is such a turn on. Such a turn on.
So then what's your biggest turn off?
My biggest turn off. That is a good question. I remember going on some dates where like I was constantly getting interrupted, and that really, really annoyed me. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like, let me finish. It's such a turn off, just like being interrupted and not letting me speak or be heard. Big turn off.
So then what is your favorite pleasure practice?
Oh, I'm just telling you, ambulance just went past.
Oh.
Favorite pleasure practice. I love breath massage. That's something I learned when I was doing my training with Layla. So nice, just like taking some like nice oils and just like massaging my breath and like connecting to my heart while I'm doing it. I think that's one of my go-to pleasure practices.
Love it. And last question here is, what makes great sex?
I love these questions. I could like ponder on them for hours. I think aside from like the physical attraction, chemistry, for me it's really communication and just being able, like that was a big journey for me, being able to vocalize and to say and be really clear on what it is that I wanted and what it is that I desired. And when I was able to start doing that, like my sex life got a lot better.
Yes. Love it. All right. So thank you so much, Jerry, for being here. I really appreciate you taking out the time to grace us with your wisdom, with your relationship coach wisdom. So what are your services? Where can people find you on social media? Where do you like to hang out?
Yes, I'm on Instagram at the Jerry Suter, so just like the in my full name. I also have a really amazing group, a free group on Facebook, which is called the Conscious Intimacy Club. And the best place to find out about my one-on-one coaching is on my website. So it's just jerrysuter.com, and all of the information is there.
Perfect. Okay, cool. I'll leave all those links for you guys down in the show notes so you can check up on Jerry, see what she's doing, get some of her services, or at least get in her free Facebook group. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you so much, Jerry, for being here, and I'll talk to you guys very soon. Thank you so much for listening to the Sacred Slip podcast. I hope this episode has your juices flowing and has you feeling inspired to create your own version of a pleasure-filled life. I would love, love, love it if you could leave this podcast a rating and review, hopefully 5 stars. This really helps out the podcast to reach more women like yourself, so that way we can empower each other and create a beautiful community.
If this episode has brought you value, please share it with a friend, a family member, your partner, a coworker, or even on your social media. If you do post on your social media, make sure to tag me at Becca Jo Kavanaugh on your Instagram so that way I can thank you and send you so much love. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so that way you never miss an episode. If your pussy and intuition is craving more and to dive deeper into this work, check out my website and ways that you can work with me through my signature courses and intimate coaching containers. Sending you so, so much love, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye, sluts.